Advent is like a really good time to kind of get ourselves on the Christian calendar. I mean, doing it that way is especially helpful when the secular calendar tries to lead us in a different way. And in other words, we go from day to day, January, February. Those things aren't that big of a deal. Well, this is the time we're dealing with the seasons we call Thanksgiving, and then the Christmas season, and it's and they're great times, and they're but it's very helpful to grab a hold of what God is trying to say and let Him kind of take us away and take us out of the secular ways of doing things. So it's one of my favorite times, and I really encourage you as you experience this Advent season that you take it on yourself, not just on Sundays, but that you take it on yourself to experience the Advent season and to let God help you to get back to the reality of what we really believe about Christmas and about the coming of Christ and the coming of the Lord. So it's a time I really encourage you to kind of start on the calendar. It's the first day of the year. I remember, I think it was just last year that some of us got together and went out on the eve of Advent. Was that last year, John? And celebrated New Year's Eve because we just wanted to, you know in our heart that this is a really the beginning of a new year. It's the beginning of the new. You did? You just didn't invite me. Okay. Touche. Amen. Yeah, and I guess go ahead and get that out of the way. I want to congratulate all of the, and I want to say to all of you, you know, make sure that, I said, you didn't hear it? Huh. I did say it the best of my ability. But you know, this season can be confusing. It's amazing that, you know, Thanksgiving Day, we have Thanksgiving Day when, you know, we really, it's just a great time to be thankful for the little things. It's kind of the time when we need to have recordings of Chad Chatfield's little prayers that he does at the times of the prayers of the people, when he really just encourages us to thank God for those little things. It's that time when we can thank God for those little things, the big things, thank God for Jesus in our life. You know, and then they call the next day, and it's literally come to be known as Black Friday. Black Friday. Thanksgiving Day, then Black Friday. And it's the beginning of, it's kind of like the secular Advent. It's the beginning of shopping season, and I'm not against shopping, Tim. It can overwhelm you though if you let it. And I just want to read this article. This was in Walmart, actually in a Walmart in New York that on Long Island, close to Bishop Bates's Church of the Intercessor. And I've been to this Walmart before. And then it said that the Dateline is New York. Police were reviewing video from surveillance cameras in an attempt to identify who trampled to death a Walmart worker after a crowd of post-Thanksgiving shoppers burst through the doors at a suburban store and knocked him down. Criminal charges were possible, but identifying individual shoppers in Friday's video may prove difficult. Other workers were trampled as they tried to rescue the man, and customers stepped over him and became irate when officials said the store was closing because of the death, police and witnesses said. At least four other people, including a woman who was 8 months pregnant, were taken to hospitals for observation or minor injuries. The store in Valley Stream on Long Island closed for several hours before reopening. Police said about 2,000 people were gathered outside the Walmart doors before its 5 a.m. opening at a mall about 20 miles east of Manhattan. The impatient crowd knocked the employee, identified by police as Dimitai Damour, to the ground as he opened the doors, leaving a metal portion of the frame crumpled like an accordion. This crowd was out of control, Fleming said. He described the scene as utter chaos and said the store didn't have enough security. A tragedy for this man, his family, his friends. But I think it's also tragedy for us as we, again, get away from what the true meaning of Christmas is. You know, and I know everybody's not like this. And I know that people that shop, it's a good thing. It's fun. It can be, you know, really good for you. But, you know, just as a pastor, as a shepherd, it seems to me this is a great time, and I feel this every year, that we just begin to get more tuned in to what God is doing, what God is saying, and what God really wants us to know about the season of Christmas that's coming up. Of course, as a pastor, the first thing I think of is, man, what would it be like if not 2,000 people, just everybody was really lined up and excited and waiting outside the door for us to open them this morning. Somebody say amen. You know, I mean, that would be, I think, and again, throughout our culture, I think every pastor would say the same thing. But throughout our culture, this is just, it's systemic. That our priorities and our joy and excitement come from different ways of the things that get in our lives and in our hearts, and we get affected and infected by it. So this is a great time to get back and to just participate in Advent and just that expectation of the coming of Christ as he came to those people at that time as a child, and knowing what that meant for us. And, you know, one of the songs we sang this morning, you know, God being ancient but yet here. And that's really what I like to do. I like to just kind of help encourage you to put yourself back in that time, in the expectation of what was going on. Because those people at that time in Israel, the people waiting for their Messiah, they were people that had also gone astray. They were people that also were, you know, they were wondering where their shepherd was, and they were looking for the Messiah to come, and they were in need of something to happen, something drastic to happen, because they saw things becoming chaotic too, and they felt themselves straying from God. And I think that we as people of God, we all know that not just corporately and as a country, as a nation, as a church, that we can stray from God and walk out there outside of the green pastures that he has for us, but you know that it's a reality for our lives. And I just think of the song, you know, as we and I feel of it, you know, I feel it as we are today, but I feel that this is the way it was in Israel at the time when they began to wait and patient. I feel like there was something that was kind of in the air, if you know what I mean. There were things that were happening by the Holy Spirit preparing people, but they didn't know everything that was going on. And then and that's how it is sometimes in our life. When we're walking away, when we're straying, when we're wandering out there, God is doing something. God is making some way. God is doing something, even behind the scenes, to call us back to him. And I think of the song, one of my favorite songs that we sing here so many times. And back in the 1700s, a young man that the way he's described, as if you read about him in the old books, that he was a hooligan as a young person. He was probably what we call a juvenile delinquent or a hood or whatever, really out of control as a young man, as a young person. And he found himself at a church service or an outdoor service where George Whitefield, one of my again, one of my favorite preachers was preaching, and he just surrendered his heart to Christ, and he became a Christian that day, and he became a pastor in his life, and he wrote that song, "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." And I think that that's who we are as people, individuals, corporately, in other ways. We're prone to wander. You know, it's in our nature to wander out there without a sheep and a shepherd. So I want to look at just the scriptures and just a couple of scriptures from each of the readings for Advent today, and just share a little bit about each one of them. First, in Isaiah 64, and it's funny, not funny, but I think it's the Lord that Father Carl, when he had that word today, and again, he didn't know anything about what I was going to say, but in Isaiah 64, 1, I just think it reveals how the people at that time were hopefully waiting. And the scripture in Isaiah 64, 1 says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence." This was a passionate, statement from Isaiah saying, you know, and this is what they were hearing, this is what they were reading, this was read in the synagogues and the churches. And you know, it was passionate that God, that you would come down. Lord, we're so desperate for you, that we're waiting desperately, hopefully waiting for you in a desperate, desperate place for the Messiah to come. They had been waiting for God to reveal himself through the Messiah. They didn't know even how it would come. They had it, in fact, they didn't even have it right the way they thought it would happen. But they were hopefully waiting. And that's one of the attitudes that I hope we have as we go through Advent. Hopefully waiting, whatever situation you're in, whatever situation we're in here at the church, whatever situation you're in as an individual, in your family, no matter what it is, that you're hopefully waiting for God to come into the midst of whatever it is that's going on in your life. For Jesus to come right there. These were people that were painfully aware of their own sinfulness. They were aware of their tendency to wander and how Israel had, you know, been given so much and so many things and so many ways that God had shown them himself to them. And then they would come to him and they would, you know, allow him in their lives, and then they would walk away. They were painfully aware of how, of the kind of people they were. They were painfully aware of their own sinfulness. And not only were they aware of it, I believe, in their hearts, but they were aware of it and they were reminded of it every time they went to their services where the sacrifices were offered, and they had to see that blood shed every time they came. Blood, 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 more and more and more, realizing it was having to be done for their sin. That blood had to be shed. They were hopefully waiting for Jesus to come, for the Messiah to come. They were painfully aware of their own sinfulness and their need for a Savior. And though we are people that know the grace of God and have received the grace of God, and are Christians, and we know our sins are forgiven, but yet there's something still within us that's still prone to wander, to move away, to bow to our own sinfulness. And I believe that this is a good time for us to realize that, yeah, that sinfulness is still there. Yes, those wandering ways are still there, but Jesus is going to come into the midst of my life, and he's going to help me to stop wondering. He's going to bring me back to him. That was in Isaiah, hopefully waiting. In Psalm 80, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth." Not only were they hopefully waiting, but they were realistically expecting. Or another way of saying it, is that they were expecting a reality. In other words, they weren't waiting on Mickey Mouse to come. They weren't waiting on Buddha to show up in a statue. What was in their heart was the true and the living God, a God that had demonstrated over and over again to them as a people that He was the true and the living God. He had demonstrated it by His power. He had shown them throughout their whole history that He was the real deal. And they were expecting reality. They were realistically expecting the real thing. They were familiar with these images that were in the Psalms, the images of a shepherd. And that is a shepherd that's a sheep need a shepherd. And that shepherds would come. And they knew all that, you know, the imagery and the analogy and the metaphors of shepherds. They understood that because that was a way of life for many, many people. They knew that a real shepherd came and dwelt in the midst of them, in the midst of the sheep. And he would lead the sheep. And the sheep would then gather to the shepherd. And they were waiting for him to come into the midst of them, because he wanted to gather them. And they knew in their hearts that God, that more than they wanted God to come into their midst, that he wanted to be in their midst. And that's something, again, that as we expect Christ to come into our hearts and our lives and our situations, that we have to know that as we pray, that we can believe and trust that God wants to be there more than we want Him there. He wants to be there. His desire is to be in every place in your life, in every place in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart, in your emotions, in your thoughts, in your decisions. God wants a part of that. He wants to be there. And He has the ability and the power to be there and to help whatever it is in time of need. He has that power. He has the ability and He has the desire, because He says to us, you are my desire. You are the apple of my eye. That's just what He wants. He wants it more than we do. And that helps us to break the cycles of thinking, you know, well, you know, I know I want to trust God. I want to pray, but really there's other ways I can get out of this. There's other ways of escape. Father Carl, there's ways of doing this without really having to get God to come right now. Maybe He can come later. He can come at the last minute. But right now I'm going to try to figure out how to do this by myself. But God is saying, no, I want to be there right now. Right now, I want to be there. Realistically expecting. In the faith experience of the Jews, they knew that God was the one who would cover them with His wings. They spoke of Him as the cherubim shining forth on them. The cherubim, they understood, they knew the whole image of the cherubim sitting over the mercy seat with their wings spread. And they knew the scriptures that spoke of God putting them, protecting them under His wings. And I believe that God wants us in this time again to begin to think of Him that way. Begin to think more of Him that way, of His desire to protect us, protect our hearts, protect our families, protect our lives. And that He'll do it. But it's something that God wants us to believe and trust in Him to do. Because that is the real God. He is able to do that. He wants to do it. He wants to be there. He wants us to trust Him. What they didn't know that was going on at that time among themselves and in their lives and in their cities and towns, they didn't have cell phones and, you know, TV and news programs. It took a long time to get things out there. And they didn't realize that there was this little girl, you know, this little young girl that was one of them. Luke 1 speaks about that little girl when an angel came to her and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. See, they didn't know that was happening. They were waiting. They were hopefully and realistically expecting something to happen. And I believe that it was becoming more and more in them, but they didn't know that God was working and that this little girl, and this young girl, this miracle that was about to happen, and that God was about to reveal himself. Thankfully, 2,000 years later, we're here and we know what happened. We know the reality of it. We know that because it did happen, because what that angel said to Mary would happen, did happen, and that the Son of God came into the earth as a little child, we know that that happened and that changed our lives. We know that that happened and that has the most meaning of anything in our entire life. We know that it happened. It was reality for them in expectation. It's reality for us in experience. We know it. So we can then look at 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians at the reading today, it says, and this is how we say it, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. We know as Christians today that we can truly give thanks that we have been given the expected reality that the whole world was waiting for. That it's happened. And it's a part of our life experience. It's a part of who we are. And these are the things that really drive us, that cause us to understand that there's meaning when we get up in the morning. That our lives are not just, you know, that we don't have to worry or we don't have to put our trust in our lives into the season, the secular season that's going on right now, and put everything that we do into it and get to a place where we would crush down a door in a Walmart and kill somebody and then keep going and get upset because somebody wanted to stop and help him. But that's not a part of our life. It's not a place Jesus allows us to go. Though I believe that many of the people that this probably happened to, this was their experience on Friday, that they were probably Christian people in church. I don't know where they were with the Lord, but I can tell you that for most people in America, at some point, Christianity is an experience of their life in one way or another. So there was a reality that they knew that something was going on. But for us, I'm just encouraging you, the people here, all of us, that we don't let ourselves get caught up in a mistaken reality as we approach the season of Advent and the Christmas season. Because we can truly give thanks for a reality in our life that the grace of God has been given to us. We live with that reality that God has not just given us a little bit of grace here, a little bit of grace there, but He's baptized us in His grace. He's poured His grace out over us. He's poured His mercy onto us. He's poured His life into us. He has come to make us the place of His dwelling. And we can be thankful for that. And that's the reality that we need to walk in as we're walking through this season of Advent, approaching the coming of the Lord into this world as we just think of that. So again, I encourage you to do that. And then the last point or aspect that I want to speak of about Advent is in Mark 13, the reading in Mark 13 today. It's speaking more of the second coming of Christ. Not just Him coming into our lives and coming into our situations, coming to us in the Eucharist, but that He will come again, that we believe that. And that is all a part of our hopeful waiting, our realistically expecting, and our thankfully receiving Him. Mark 13 speaks about alertly walking in the knowledge of His coming. To walk alert. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. That's verse 32. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you all, I say to all, keep awake. Walk alertly. Walk the walk of Christ. Walk along with Him. Walk along with Him as He has revealed and manifested Himself in our lives, as the Holy Spirit has come to walk alongside of us, the Comforter, the Paraclete. Walk with Him, but expect that He will come. He will come through the heavens, and one day He will come on this earth, and at that time there's something that's going to happen. And I believe that we as Christians should always have this as an expectation in our life. Hopefully waiting, expecting reality, and then thankfully receiving Him as He comes to us. So I just encourage you, my challenge to you is to get a Christian calendar. Make sure you're keeping up with the readings. There's so many great readings every day through Advent. Read those readings. Don't let what's going on out there overcome you and overtake you. Don't let it overtake you. Tune in. Tune in to Jesus, to His coming. And I pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.